Hello, people, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. We have a robust group with us today. Can we hear a little something from our live studio? Live studio audience today?
Yeah, it's huge.
And if you want information on how you too can be in the live studio audience for the Passion Podcast, call 1-800-PODCASTING-WITH-US, and we'll be sure to get ticket information to you. And we'd love to have you come and join us in Manila, where we're broadcasting from live. Man, people in Manila be excited, though. We have friends in Manila.
We do have friends in Manila.
A lot of friends in the Philippines. If you are in the Philippines listening to this right now, would you just raise your hand? See that? Look at that. That's impressive. That is impressive. Hey, we're so glad to have you guys back with us today. We are on our way to the dome. Not immediately, but in time, we are going to fill the Georgia Dome in January of 2017 with a generation of college-age young people lifting up the name of Jesus. And on the way, Passion 2016 is getting closer and closer. And, you know, we talked a few weeks ago, Brad, when we started this, like that was way off in the future. But it's really not that far away. I mean, people got to put a whole semester of school in before we get there. And we've got a lot of life to live, but it's getting closer. We can feel January 2016 coming really fast. Three arenas, one gathering, all at the same time. You need to stake your place there. But you may be asking the question, and we try to answer it all the time on the Passion Podcast. What is Passion really all about? Is it an event? Is it just a conference? Is it something for people to come to? Something else to put on the calendar? Is it a concert? Is it a worship event? And for us, it really is way more than that. And what we see is the opportunity, the possibility that God could spark something on a campus somewhere in the world to get that could spread like wildfire and could change the direction, the trajectory of a whole generation. And I talked about that in a little piece I did, and I want to play a little clip of that today just so that we can all remember what the possibility is when God is in the equation.
Our heartbeat is a generation that lives to make Jesus famous. We say it a lot of different ways. Isaiah 26:8, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth, we wait eagerly for you. For your name and your renown are the desire of our souls. That whole idea of the name of Jesus and the renown, that's the enduring fame of Jesus being the thing that fuels us. So whether I'm in business or an entrepreneur or an educator or, you know, a pastor or a teacher or a mother or an artist, filmmaker, whatever, that the fuel in the furnace is this clear desire to use my gifts, to use my ability, to use my moments on earth to make Jesus known. And, you know, it's going to take a whole lot more then guys like me, pastors and preachers, to make Jesus known in the whole culture. It takes all people in all streams of life, in all moments of the day, in all circumstances, in every situation, in every fabric of culture. It takes somebody who has a unique gifting, unique abilities, a unique vision for what God wants to do in their lives, saying, I'm going to do this thing, but I'm doing it for a purpose. I'm doing it for a reason. And that reason is so that as I live my life, the way I live, the person that I am, in the midst of the thing that I do, reflects Jesus to the people around me. The psalmist said it this way. He said, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I don't think there's any clearer statement for what passion is all about than that phrase from Psalm 34. Magnify the Lord with me. Come on, not just me magnifying the Lord, but us together, you and me and all of you and me and all of us together as this body of Christ and all of our various gifts and talents and abilities. Come on, let's magnify him together and let's glorify his name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's what the psalmist said. And that's the challenge tonight, right? That's what we hope would be the residual on your campus tonight. Not just that there was an event, not just that a couple hundred or a couple thousand people showed up, because that happens every week on your campus. And, you know, this weekend or next weekend, there'll be tens of thousands of people show up on your campus and everybody will be in a stadium or at some venue or at some concert. So the goal tonight wasn't just to get a bunch of people in a room. The goal tonight was to see a generation rise up and say, together, north, south, east, and west, all over this nation and all around the world, there is a generation coming. And we all may speak different languages, and we all may be in different streams and channels of culture with our influence, but we've got one heartbeat, and that heartbeat is to make the name of Jesus famous. And that's what Passion started out with. That's what Passion's got today. That's going to be the heart and the soul, the anchor of everything at Passion 2012. And that's going to be all a passion as long as God wants there to be a passion. It's always going to be about a generation saying, we figured it out. Some things are more important than others, and one thing's more important than everything. And the one thing that's more important than everything is the name of Jesus, because that's the name that stands in eternity. And we want to live our lives in such a way that people hear and know who He is and what He can do in our lives. So that's the big picture. That's the big arc. That's what we're inviting people to come under. But you know where it begins? It doesn't begin in domes. It doesn't begin at events. It doesn't begin at gatherings. It doesn't begin in arenas. That begins in your heart, and it begins in my heart. You know, this Psalm 34 is so incredible because it does get to that verse which says, magnify or glorify the Lord with me. But listen to the way Psalm 34 opens tonight, because I think the message tonight is not global. I don't think what God's wanting to say tonight is for the whole world. I don't even think it's global in the sense of all the people in the building you're sitting in right now. I think what God wants to say tonight is about you. It's about me. It's God speaking, Louis, this is for you. Or saying your name, this is for you. This isn't, you know, just something to be shouted out to the whole campus or the whole city. This is what God's speaking to your life and to my life tonight, because Psalm 34 begins personal and it ends up in a huge global declaration. It opens this way, verse 1, it says, I will extol. That's an interesting word in NIV that just means bless. And so let's put bless in there because I kind of like bless better tonight. That's another translation. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now that's crazy, because that means something really revolutionary has happened in my life. It's not like His praise is on my lips at the Passion University Tour. It's His praise is on my lips when our campus ministry thing happens on Thursday or Friday or Monday or Wednesday. His praise is on my lips when I go to an event, or His praise is on my lips at church. But His praise is always on my lips. I can't stop talking about Him. Now that's, something's changed when we can't stop talking about Him. He says, I'll bless the Lord at all times, good times, bad times, in the dorm, out of the dorm, in class, out of class, with these friends, in this place, in this club, in the library, in my small group, same place, everywhere. Give me a minute and I'm going to be talking about Him. His praise will always be on my lips. Verse 2, my soul will boast in the Lord. My soul is going to boast in God. In other words, that thing inside of me that's so desperate to be loved, to be accepted, to be filled, to be satisfied, that hunger, the longing, the thirst, all the cravings I've got inside of me, all these amazing longings that I've got in me, they're going to find in Him something so amazing that my soul is going to say, wow, there is someone who satisfies, and I figured it out. I found Him. He found me. His name is Jesus. And therefore, my soul is boasting in God. And then listen to this next little phrase. It says, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. You know what? That's it. I mean, there's so many ways we could do this tonight. We could rah-rah. We could talk about how God's going to change the campus. We could pray for revival on our campus. We could pray for a move of God's Spirit across our city. Or we could understand this simple, powerful, undeniable principle of the gospel. And it's right there in Psalm 34. It says, my soul got changed. My heart got changed. And when it did, the afflicted, they heard. They heard, and then their lives, in turn, were changed. I love the university moment And if you've heard me speak at all about this, you know this and you've heard me say this. But the reason why the campus moment, the moment you're living and sitting in right now, is so critical and so crucial is because in this moment, things start in little movements and they spread like wildfire and they consume the whole culture. I mean, I've mentioned this before many, many times, but Facebook started with a bunch of college students on a college campus. It spread to that campus overnight, a few other campuses overnight, and now your mom is on Facebook for crying out loud. That's the power of the incubator of the campus environment that you're living in right now. So some hot new band comes along, guess what? You start hearing about it. There's some new club going on in town, you start hearing about it. Where the party is this weekend, you hear about it. The thing that's going on that everybody wants to be a part of, you hear about it. Why? No one needs to put a poster up on a campus for crying out loud. They're everywhere. I mean, it's one of the greatest things on the college campus is the poster places, you know? It's just like wall of information. But no one needs a poster on a college campus. Why? Because news travels fast, and good news travels faster than all kinds of news. And if it's true that one student, if their afflicted soul, and you know what afflicted soul just means? They had a broken heart. They were in bondage to some stuff that was ripping them apart. Their world had shattered. Stuff had crumbled around them. The ground was shaken under their feet. People had let them down. People had deserted them. And they found in Christ something powerful and true and real that really did fill up their soul, that thirsting in them. Guess what? Somebody's going to hear that in a hurry. And the person who's going to hear it in a hurry is the person who's closest to them. The person right next to them is going to hear, God changed my heart. God is doing something in me that nobody else could do in me. And when that happens, that's the gospel. There's nothing wrong with us coming together in force and celebrating Christ, but you don't need an event when you have a heart that's been changed, when you have a soul that's been filled. Instantly, there's going to be a reflection of that. And the person right next to you who's dealing with the same affliction that you were dealing with is going to go, really? That worked for you? That really did satisfy? For real? How? I want to know how that happened because I want that to happen in me. And that's the power of what's going on in Psalm 34. I'll bless God all the time. His praise is always going to be on my lips. My soul's going to boast in the Lord so that the afflicted will hear and rejoice. So glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now that begs a question, doesn't it? It begs of me a huge question. I mean, that passage puts pressure on me today because it's asking me this question. It's asking me, is my soul satisfied and am I boasting in the Lord? Have I really tasted something so amazing that I can't stop talking about? Not church, not my campus ministry, not the latest band, not some podcast I just downloaded, not the last Christian book I read, but I can't stop talking about Jesus because he's the one who's making the difference in my life. And that's the possibility tonight. I think the reality is that we could go through this night, all of our hands in the air, all the praise going on, all the excitement about passion, all the enthusiasm about the moment, and have a bunch of people in the room tonight not experiencing that in a personal way, walking in the door, empty soul, out of the door, empty soul, went through all the deal, but never experienced the fullness of Christ in their own life. And I hope that God will give us a chance for that to happen to you and happen to me tonight. Psalm 34 goes on to say, I sought the Lord and he answered me. And so that's the invitation tonight. You know, it's not to really even start by saying, God, we're praying for our campus. It's to start by saying, God, I'm seeking you. I know the campus is lost, but I'm lost. I know the campus got their issues, but come on. I'm hiding my own issues tonight. I have struggles. And I need to know the power of the resurrection is real in my life. And so it's that hope. It's that power, right? that God wants to bring to you and bring to me. He says, I sought the Lord. This is where all those first three verses came from. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. He delivered. He brought me out. He brought me through the darkness, or out of the pit, or out of the hole, or out of the bondage, or that broken relationship I was in, or all those lies I'd been in. He delivered me out of that. And He can do that in your life tonight. I believe that's the hope of tonight. It's not bands and not me and not a video and not an event, but the hope of tonight is that Christ can deliver you and deliver me out of all of our fears, whatever they are, that Christ can bring us through. And so He says, those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. That means as they're walking on the campus, people see them and go, what's going on with you? People, what? Did you get a date? What? Did you ace that test? What? Did you get a check in the mail from your aunt from Illinois? What happened to you? You look so excited. You look so happy. It's like, yeah, I'm looking to God. I'm looking to Christ. And when I'm looking at Him, something about Him is reflecting on me. I said, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. So if you're doing great tonight, God bless you. But if you feel some poverty of your heart, or poverty of spirit, or poverty of relationships, or poverty of vision, you're in good hands tonight. Because the psalmist said, I was a poor man when I called, and the Lord heard me. He saved me out of all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. So look at verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. Take a bite. Get it in your mouth. Chew it up. Swallow it. Savor it. Process it. Digest it. Get Christ inside of you. Not just up here, but get Him in here. Take hold of Him and say, okay, I'm going to try You, Jesus, because I got this raging appetite over here that can't be quenched. I'm going to try You, Jesus. I got this raging thirst going on over here that it's killing me. But I'm going to try You, Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And then He comes down and lays it out. He talks about how we've got to change our ways. He says, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And that's my invitation tonight. You know, there's a story of an old evangelist, a revivalist, who lived at the turn of the last century, late 1800s, early 1900s. His name was Gypsy Smith. And Gypsy Smith went and proclaimed the gospel. He preached, history says, on every continent. And everywhere he went, the Spirit of God would move and revival would break out. And so it was kind of the thing we're hoping for the campus where we are right now, right? For the city where we are right now, for the churches that are represented, that revival really did come. People really did feel the wind of the Spirit coming around them and moving them in some new direction with God. But Gypsy Smith preaching, proclaiming, and revival coming, and a group of people came to him one day and they said, hey, everywhere you go, revival breaks out. What's the secret? What's the deal? What's the formula? How can we have this happen where we are? And his answer absolutely blows me away. He said back to them, here's what you need to do if you want to see a powerful move of God's Spirit. He said, go home and go in your closet or go in your room and get down on your knees and draw a circle around you. And get inside that circle and pray this prayer. God, we need a revival. And I'm asking You that it start inside this circle. Not out there, not those crazy partying wild people who live across the quad. Not my neighbors upstairs who don't get it. Not the people over here who are clueless. But God, we need a revival. We need something different. We need something that's not ordinary. We need something supernatural. We need something like we've read about in history. We need the wind of God to catch fire and light this place up. And here's my prayer. Start that revival inside this circle. Start it in me. And I think that's the prayer tonight. I don't think our prayer tonight, it's not that we're callous to the campus. Of course we're not. It's not that we're indifferent to 19 million university students tonight who the vast majority of don't have one idea how much God loves them and what it's really all about. It's just really saying, God, you know what? If it's not happening in here, then it's not going to happen right there. Because they're afflicted people, like right here. You know their names. And they're dealing with such brokenness, such pain, such addiction, such hunger, such longing. And they're right there. And what they need is to see a soul that boasts in the Lord. You know, the main struggle that we feel that we're going to have as soon as we say, wow, I found Jesus. Man, something changed. Man, my heart is different. When that invitation comes, it's like, hey, we're all going this way. And you're like, hey, I just don't really feel like I can be a part of that. Or, hey, everybody's going to be over here this weekend. And you're like, yeah, I don't think that's for me. And immediately we're always afraid of that line coming back. Like, oh, what, you think you're better than the rest of us? Oh, what, something happened in your little circle and now you're better than what's going on over here in our little circle? And you know what the best answer to that is? I don't know about you, but I've got my tongue tied over that so many times. I remember being a college student just not far from here and God doing the most amazing things in my life that He'd ever done and getting in some situations where people were like putting me in real tight spots and I was always fumbling for that answer, right? How do you respond to that? Kind of, oh, so you're better than the rest of us. Oh, I see how it goes now. You know what the best answer for that is? It's to say, you know what? Man, I've dealt with so much brokenness in my heart, so many struggles in my heart, man, so much bondage in my heart, and I'm finding something that is really, really doing something inside of me that I've never experienced before, and I just got to stay on that path, man. I don't know about where you are, what's going on with you, but there was just so much brokenness in me, and God is changing that. And I just feel like I need to stay on that path because I've never experienced anything like what God's doing in my heart right now. And when you say that, I think when we say that, it identifies to them, you know that affliction you feel? Me too. Me too. And I'm not perfect and I'm not done and I'm not over it all. I'm in the middle of it all. But God's doing something powerful in my life. And so I just wonder, I'm just asking, is there anybody in the building tonight? He says, you know what? I'm not leaving here tonight until I draw a circle around me. And I say, dear God in heaven, yes, our campus needs you. Yeah, the city needs you. I know the nation needs you, but I need you. I need a revival. And I need that revival to start in me.
Man, that was such a powerful moment in a talk. And I just want to just say before we move any further that let's have hope for revival for the campuses that we're on, for the workplaces that we, you know, go to. That if the revival is going to come, it's going to start with me and it's going to start with you. And let's raise our expectation of what God can do when our hearts are fully His. And just really, really powerful. I just want to tell you briefly before we have something else coming your way. Like Louie mentioned earlier, we're just 4 months away from Passion 2016. And we believe a big part of revival coming to your campus could be your friends from campus or from your workplace coming to Passion with you.
Yeah.
And we want you to start thinking now about who you could bring with you and just going to try to help you. We got some good news, Louie. We got a promo code our events team is letting us announce on the podcast for our podcast listeners. And it's a temporary. It's only going to be around until September 23rd. But if you enter the code into the, you know, special code box on the registration page, you get $20 off.
What is the code? Are we going to announce what the code is?
The code is for podcast listeners, and it's just podcast.
So I just put podcast in the box that says, do I have a code?
Yes. Well, because you don't have to register. But if anybody else does, they need to put podcast in there. They get $20 off, which means it's $119 to be at Passion 2016.
Are you serious? From now until September 23rd, if you put podcast in the box, you get $20 off?
Yes.
And we're announcing that like publicly?
And price is going to go up as we get closer. And then we hear it every year. People in December are like, they know they're going and it's on their calendar. They just...
And by then it's expensive and they're like, it's just expensive. And we're like, I know, but remember back in August when it was... $119.
We're doing all that we can to help you get it now till September 23rd.
And did you tell me we're still doing, if you register 20 people, you get one free?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not a statistics major, but I know that if you do 20 people and you put that podcast code in,
yep,
you get them for $119.
Okay.
And then you get one free.
So that would be
so
average
be
price
20
of...
divided by something would give you less than $119.
Okay. Do we know what it would
no.
be? Okay.
No, but I'll work on it if you talk long enough.
Yeah, so $119 or less, because if you get 20 people up to September 23rd, you get a spot for free. Then the price goes up. So the main point of all that is go ahead and claim your spot. You want to be there, but also be thinking about who you can bring. And maybe you're a go-getter, you lead a student organization, you're a leader in your church. Just round up 20 people and go ahead and bring a group. And it's always better in those moments when God's just pouring something into your life and there's people sitting next to you that are there because you brought them. So that's coming. Next on the podcast, though, we got Mr. Crowder back with us.
We're going to try this again. So we're going to keep trying it.
Yep.
We're going to keep trying it. And, you know, calling people's free nowadays. And so we're going to keep calling. And I cannot wait to see what happens today. Crowder cold calling anybody is a good idea. But him just calling a student out of the blue, going to see what's going on a campus somewhere in the world.
Yep.
I'm excited. So, David, take it away.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Aaron. This is David Crowder with the Passion Conferences. And I see you're screening your calls today. That's unfortunate. I know it probably came up as an unknown number, and I don't like talking to strangers either. So it's understandable. I just wish we could have spoken on the phone. I'm just going through calling everyone who's ever been to Passion Conferences, especially Aggies. You know, I have a Baylor Bear, and I feel like you guys need Jesus more than most of the rest of us do. And so I saw you hadn't registered yet and thought that's probably not the best idea for, like, your eternal future because it's tougher for y'all to get in and stuff. So anyway, I hope you're there. I do. So anyway, I'm sorry I missed you, and I hope you're having a fantastic day. Next time maybe answer the phone would be great. Thanks, man. Bye.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen, thank you. Your message has been sent. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, John. My name is David Crowder, and I'm calling with the Passion Conferences. I see that you, and I'm sorry I didn't reach you. It's understandable. The screen calls, it's probably the safest, you know, because I could be someone calling from an organization with a survey or something. That's actually exactly what I'm doing, so you probably... right for letting us go to voicemail. But anyway, I see that you became registered for 2016. I'm just calling everyone to let them know how excited I am and we are that we'll be together again. And I saw that you last year, you were in Atlanta 1 and 2 because it was that amazing. I agree with you. I went to both as well. I was at both of them too. And this year, you know, they're in 3 places. And so I was calling to see if you're going to try to get to all 3 places or if you're just going to like go to one of them. Because we, you know, would love to, we're having to do the same thing. I'm going to go to all 3 places. I thought maybe if you are, then, you know, we'd see each other at all 3 places. So anyway, just give me a call back and let me know. And maybe we can work out some, you know, maybe we can carpool or something like that, you know, and just make it easier on the planet. All right. Hope you're having a great day. Sorry I missed you. Thanks so much. Goodbye, John.
If you are satisfied with your message, to send your message with no.
Well, that was interesting and amazing.
only David Crowder.
I want David to call me. I've decided that I'm going to have David call me once a day.
It just cheers you up.
Just out of the blue. He just has a way of, you know, taking life at a different speed than everybody else. And that's why he's Crowder.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be David Crowder.
Yeah, one of a kind.
And now he's just Crowder.
Just Crowder?
Mm-hmm. Just Crowder. And that's really all you need when you're Crowder.
Yeah.
Amazing. If you don't have Neon Steeple, by the way, you should check it out. It is one of the most brilliant worship albums ever. And what David was doing was he was taking the steeple, the old church, where people might even gather out on the porch after with instruments you didn't have to plug in. And he was combining that with the neon side of it, which was the blips and the beeps and all that part of it into what he calls Folktronica. Oh, and it's just a really amazing offering, I think, to people's lives. And one of the songs on there that we call Chains is such a powerful song. In fact, people might be hearing that on radio if they're listening to Christian radio right now. Such a powerful song.
Yep.
About what God can do in our lives. And, you know, we've laughed today on this podcast, and we've talked about revival on this podcast, and we've talked about price increases and all that stuff. But really what this podcast is about is the hope that whatever it is in our lives that want to hold us back and chain us to less, that Jesus has the power to free us today and to lead us into more. That's always what's at stake in our lives. The enemy, less. Jesus, more.
Mm-hmm.
Temptation, less. Jesus, more. And so we just want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today, every single person listening today, that Jesus came and he paved a way for us to walk into more today. And so I just hope that is a little bit of a help for us when the enemy starts talking today, that we can just kind of use that filter. Is that less or is that more? So what you're trying to get me to believe right now about me, less or more? Because if it's less, it's coming from you. If it's more, it's pointing toward Jesus. And we always have that option, that chance to move towards him and to move into more. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. I think what Jesus was saying, I'm all about more for you. So walk in that today. Let's encourage each other to walk in that today. Let's hold each other up to the high standard of the more that is available to us in Jesus today. We love you guys. Get your crew together. It's a good deal right now, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of it. We are not in Passion conferences to make money, Brad. We're not real good at that.
Nope.
We are in this journey to see people's lives changed, and it makes me happy to know that people can get a really great deal on maybe the best conference they're going to go to in a while. And that can happen today. So thanks for telling us all about that. And
yeah,
thanks
let's
for
keep
being
this,
here today.
Let's keep this podcast going.
Let's keep it rolling. We're 3 for 3.
In 2 weeks, we'll be back.
I didn't say there were 3 good ones. We just did 3 out of 3. And we're going to keep it going all the way to the dome.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. If
you heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. So we'll see you guys in Manila. Those tickets, again, it's 1-800. Come see us on the podcast for more information, free tickets. Join our studio audience. We love you guys. See you next time.